Kurt Becker with the call of the Breeders' Cup Sprint. Whitmore breaking through in his fourth consecutive try at doing so in that particular race. Win number 15 lifetime, and it was the biggest win of his career and the biggest win in the career of trainer Ron Moquette, who is with me now here on HRRN. Ronnie, first of all, congratulations, my friend. What a day.
Thank you very much, Mike. We're really proud for this horse, and we're so pumped up.
I can imagine you would be. Are you still on cloud nine? Have you taken a lot of curtain calls and received a whole bunch of texts and stuff? Are you still kind of flying high?
You know what? I figured it out that there's a lot of people that love this horse, and it seems like that I'm the way to get through to tell him that. So, you know, immediately after the race, when I turned my phone on after I got out of the test barn and all that, there was 709 texts.
Whoa.
And, yeah, and that's not even counting the calls from a lot of people that I respect and very impactful people a lot of trainers called me. You know, of course, like Nick Zito, Steve Asmussen, Baffert, Pletcher. I mean, all of these guys took time to Mandela. I mean, they all took time to call out of appreciation of the horse. And that goes to prove that at the end of the day, people just love when horses try, you know?
Yeah, you and I talked a couple of weeks ago, and one of the things that I said, and I'll say it again, that whether you liked him to win the race or not, whether you were betting on Whitmore or not, this had to be a horse that, as he's making that run, coming from far back as he customarily does, and you heard Kurt with the call, as he's getting closer with every stride, you had to be. I was cheering for him. Thank goodness our microphones were off during the race, because I was cheering for this horse to get to the wire and finally break through. He does it, and as you said, as much you're as happy for the horse as much as you are for you and for all the connections, Ronnie.
Yeah, it was very surreal. I don't know if anybody could, you know, for me, it was like an out-of-body experience. I was watching it, I was like, you know, I know my horse, and I know the way he's moving, and I was thinking, if he gets through, you know, and then about that time he got through, I was like, well, if he catches that other horse, and then, I mean, I was like play-by-play in my head, and just the last probably the two here Whitmores from Kurt Becker, I was just like, I don't even remember getting to the winner's circle. That's how pumped up I was.
Yeah, my wife Michelle was there on site. Of course, we were providing the radio broadcast. I was back in the studio, and it was one of those moments that I just wish I could have been part of it. She said she looked over at you. You had tears in your eyes. I think I had tears in my eyes just watching the whole thing unfold. And I think so many people did, just because of, you know, for the love of the game, for the love of the horse, and everything that is good about thoroughbred racing. That, to me, is what Whitmore represents.
Well, thank you. You know, one of the things that really cracked me up, that was like, it's like how many people said, I didn't play him in my pick four, or I didn't have him in the exacta or whatever, but I started cheering for him when he made the lead. And, you know, for a game that's depending on gamblers and people investing their money, you know, for them to immediately go from, I want what's best for my ticket or what's best for my situation, to all of a sudden stopping and going, I want this horse to win, even though it doesn't do me any good financially. I thought that shows where we're at, you know. I mean, people love it whenever good things happen to horses that are deserving.
He was 18-1, and, you know, there will be plenty of people that didn't bet on him. Did you?
Yes, I did.
Good man. I figured you might have
a
couple of bucks on him.
I told everybody that I talked to that I thought we should. I don't mind. That's what I told my son when we were talking about gambling. I said, I don't mind being wrong, you know, if I'm wrong, but I'm sure not going to be feel like I think we can win and not put my money where my mouth is.
You know, one of the things you told me when we talked a couple of weeks ago was that you were just hoping he would get an honest pace to close into. And they went 21.64, 44.66 for the half mile. And obviously that was enough to do the trick. But, Ronnie, I think they could have gone a little bit slower. And this horse was so full of run on Saturday that he would have run them down anyway.
Yeah, I mean, hats off to IRAD for listening and, you know, the horse was ready, and it worked out to where, you know, he didn't look at the he didn't look at the Phoenix race as a telltale sign. He listened to me from what I was telling him, and he listened to my wife and Greta, and we all kind of got on him and said, this is what you have to do, and do not move. I don't care how much he drags you. You do not start moving until you get to the straightaway, and if we get outrun because the pace is slow, and that's my fault. Don't worry about it. You won't get it from me. Just please do this. He's obviously one of the top riders in the country, and he doesn't need any instructions from me. But Whitmore's a little quirky, and I appreciate him listening to the little idiosyncrasies and using it, you know, whenever it's time to apply it.
Yeah, he did his double barrel kick as he customarily does when he was moving into the starting gate. I actually caught that on the radio broadcast as we were getting ready for the start, and you predicted it. You said this is what he does. He's going to do it again. But one thing that's cool about this whole story, Ronnie, you're the one who always comes on with me. You are the voice. Whitmore can't talk for himself, although I wish I could do an interview with him. But this is a team effort. It's not just about Ron Moquette. Talk about the entire team that's involved with making this happen.
You know, luckily we've got Carlos that's been his groom and has allowed him to chew on him for ever since he was two. We've got Leslie as his pony girl that she won the Godolphin Award last year, but she's a 100% horseman. We've got the same Shed Row foreman. Our therapy people are the same therapy people, Palmer and the spa. You know, we do Magna Wave, we do vibrating plates. You know, obviously Greta Kunzweiler is as important to our organization as you can imagine. She works him, and he's not easy to work. If you remember the work before the Kentucky Derby, he just pulled himself up to the outside and tried to kick the outrider horse. And that was on TV. I mean, you got to be able to feather him. She's, for a horse like him, she says that when she gets off of Whitmore, she feels like she needs therapy because he pulls whatever little thread of something that's bothering you, and he goes, oh, that makes you uncomfortable? Well, let's talk about this, you know? So Greta is unbelievable, and if I'm in charge of all the decision-making and all that, then the application of getting it done goes through Laura and Greta. And it's a lot of stuff. I mean, we take him to we have to haul him to go get shod at the clinic, you know, with his blacksmith at Rood and Riddle, is Scott. And, you know, and then he comes and checks him, drives wherever we're at to check him on race days. And I mean, it's as big a team effort as you can imagine. And I know everybody that has success has a great team, but I wouldn't trade my team or any member of it with anybody's.
Talking with trainer Ron Moquette, fresh off that huge win with Whitmore in the Breeders' Cup Sprint, his fourth consecutive appearance in the race. He finally breaks through at Keeneland last Saturday. Ronnie, I was told a story about a list that you sat down and created from memory with all of the different Breeders' Cup Sprint winners going back to the very beginning. Is it a true story?
Yeah. Yeah, I was nervous, and sitting at the barn about a week from today, I was sitting at the barn. They just got through running the first race, and I decided that I was going to go to my truck and grab a piece of paper and try to write down as many of the Breeders' Cup sprint winners as I could. And, you know, I've never made any bones about it. This is the race that I wanted to win. I mean, I of course, I'd like to win the Kentucky Derby and whatever, but I chose this race in my mind. I wanted to win over the Kentucky Derby. And I've said it in every publication that asked me. But so I've decided that I was going to try to go by memory and see how many of them I could do with the years and everything. And I'm a nerd about horse racing, so I got a whole bunch of them. And the best thing was is that when it got to 19, I wrote my Tolly. And whenever 20, I left it blank. And then when I went to put on my jacket to get ready to go over, and I just reached over there and wrote Whitmore's name down for 20 before we went to the test barn, the holding barn, before we ran. And then I forgot I did it. And whenever I got back, I was grazing Whitmore, and I asked somebody to put the flower blanket in my truck. And whenever they did, they said, "What's that?" And I said, "Oh, that's pretty neat." I said, "That's my list of all the Breeders' Cup winners." And one of the guys there was Doc Slaughter, was checking on him and writing his health certificate so he could go back to Churchill. And he said, "What is this?" I said, "No, that's my list I wrote of all the winners." He goes, "Well, you wrote this down before you left." And I said, "Yeah." And so I actually wrote down Whitmore before we went to the paddock that he was the 2020 Breeders' Cup winner. So I guess I just, you know, willed it in for him, you know?
Yeah, fantastic story. Ronnie Moquette, the Nostradamus of thoroughbred racing, now predicting Whitmore's victory before it even happened. And why not? Defend your player. I would have wrote his name on that line too, Ronnie. And, again, it was such a special moment for all of us. And I can't thank you and the team and Whitmore enough for providing that to racing fans all over the world. It is what this sport is truly all about. And, again, Whitmore, the type of horse that you think about when you think about thoroughbred racing. Before I let you go, what's next for the big horse now? What do the next few months look like for him?
Well, he's going to spend the next 4 to 5 weeks with Rebecca Maker at her farm. That's his annual trip to her. It's like going to stay with an aunt. You know, she loves him, and she takes care of him for a little bit, and he gets a rest and relaxation. And then we'll pick him up and bring him to Oaklawn, and you know, we'll start the procedure and see how he's doing, if he wants to be an 8-year-old racehorse.
Well, Ronnie, listen, congratulations, and pass along my congratulations to the entire team, and appreciate the visit here this morning. And let's get back there again next year and go for another one.
Thank you so much. Thank you. We appreciate everything you've done for us.